It is the most fun you could have mid-morning on a Friday. It's the Octopod Live Dive, a brand new Village Vice, episode 401. 401.
Let's go.
We got your right formula. He is Zach. I'm Brad. If the NCAA wanted to, it would. If it wanted to, it would. We're going to talk about that a little bit today, but can we just start with how back Auburn is, how back the vibes are after an awesome night? You get a under the lights, like a late scrimmage.
Yep.
At Jordan-Hare with bunch of star players back.
Yes.
High school coaches coming in to watch, former players, vibes high.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball almost run rules Arkansas.
Right.
Into dominant clutch hitting, situational hitting.
Yes.
Back. Basketball destroys Illinois State and now has a chance to play for a championship in one of the two most important postseason tournaments around.
It's top two.
And, I mean, how good are the vibes? See, when we say things like don't get too low when things are low, it's going to come back. These things, you don't just stay in the valley. You ride. Yeah,
and the other side of that is don't get too high when things are going high, but we're not listening to that advice at all.
Anytime you can ride the high waves, you ride the high waves.
That's correct.
And when the low waves are there, you just wait for the high ones to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have anything to do with whether or not the high ones come back. So just wait until they come and then ride those high waves, baby. Ride them.
And don't get off. Don't get off the high waves when you're riding.
No, don't get off. Don't run back in. Don't go onto the beach when the waves are low. Just hang on, because they're coming back.
My favorite moment yesterday was the video posted of Cam Newton and Byron Brown having a moment.
Yeah.
Because that's what we've all kind of been thinking about. And then my favorite part of it, though, is Alex Golish just like, you know, being half their size and just cheesing it up.
Yeah.
Just absolutely cheesing it up, giddy beyond belief
of
what's happening right in front of him.
Yeah, that's a good point. He was watching just like the rest of us were watching and going, oh, I like this. I like the greatest college football player of all time talking to my quarterback, wearing my school's shirt, hanging out on my football field with my new quarterback who can do remarkable things athletically.
Did you see like what Cam was wearing last night though?
That's pretty
incredible stuff.
That's amazing. That is amazing. That's not that far off. Like if
no, Cam, that's why it's funny.
Right. Yeah. No, like if Cam wore a full-fledged pirate costume, you wouldn't bat an eye at it. Like you go, oh, all right.
Yeah, that's what he's wearing today.
That's what he's wearing today, yeah.
Right.
Hunter says it was like a father watching his son meet his hero. Really good description.
Way to go, Hunter.
Really cool description. Forget what Cam was wearing. What was Kyle wearing last night during the live Barncast?
Yeah, he was wearing one of those jackets that Shedarius Tootle's dad makes, which – I don't know if you remember this, but Kyle dropped the interview of Shedarius like committing. This is before he flipped to Georgia and came back, but the initial announcement. And he was wearing Tootle's dad's sports coat that was similar to that. It might have been a different color. That one might have been orange. I don't know why I'm thinking that, but so that happened like forever ago. And then he's like, I need one of these. And they were like talking about getting that done. Cause that's what he does. He like makes these custom jackets for people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll support him, whatever. And then he flipped to Georgia. Then the conversation stopped, but then we're back and it's like, cool. Give me that sports coat again. Let's ride. And he busted out last night because I mean, it was a Final Four game, Brad, like wear your best to a Final Four game. I hopped in and saw Kyle wearing that. And I all of a sudden instantly felt incredibly underdressed. And that's on me.
Well, listen, it's no sport coat hoodie like Stephen Pearl had on last night. That was so. I had texted me. I had texted immediately as soon as TV went to it, and they go, "What is he wearing?" And I'm gonna tell you, only Stephen Pearl could pull that look off. Like, how about we take a sport coat? You know, I've been wearing sport coats the last few games. How about we take that and we combine it with a hoodie?
Yeah, we're going to rain threes. I might need a raincoat.
That's right. I might need to protect my head at some point from all the threes raining down.
That's right.
A hoodie blazer.
Yeah, and I love that he was asked about it after the game. And he's like, yeah, I think it's called fashion or something. I don't
listen, now he'll do that. He is on the bleeding edge of fashion. For sure. We all wish we could dress like Stephen Pearl. Brad, did you know from Daniel, did you know the claws of a mantis shrimp can accelerate as quickly as a .22 caliber bullet? Scientists must keep them in thick plastic tanks because their punches can break glass. Kind of like Zach.
Do you think I can break glass?
With punches, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. You can't?
But no, Daniel, I didn't know that. Brad may have, but I didn't know that.
No, he didn't ask if you knew because he assumed you knew. I did not know. So I've learned.
Do we eat mantis shrimp? Or is that kind of something that's not, like, is that wildly different than a normal shrimp?
Oh, that's the question of the day. I don't know. I'm not up on my shrimp species.
Like, probably the same genus, different species?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
How many of the classifications can you name?
None. I don't know what it, what I don't know. No. Zero.
Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species.
Yeah. Bo's doing this in his science class right now. He had to turn in one for a tiger. He had to name all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not help at all.
Which seems a little ridiculous that we ever had to learn that. And also that naming system does not seem that efficient, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's all, look, not to go super serious, but the stuff that you learn in seventh grade science isn't the stuff you're taking with you to the grave. You're not learning it to learn the actual information.
Mm-hmm.
School at this level pretty much is learning how to learn. It's not about all the stuff that you remember when you're so, even 30.
Speaking of seventh grade,
yes.
Omar Mabson was in seventh grade not that long ago.
True.
Sounds like he had a nice run last night.
Yeah, like an early long touchdown run, 40 yards or so.
Yep.
Is what I got from the closed scrimmage information out there. And I heard you and Daryl talking about it this morning on Locked On.
Did you tune into Locked On Auburn this morning?
I did. I usually
were you running?
Yes.
How far did you run today?
3.5.
Good for you.
Thank you. Do you think it means he's the number two running back? Like, does Omar Mabson come out of the spring as the number two running back?
I think he's the number two running back right now.
Okay. Do you think he comes out of the spring as the number two running back? Do you think he's the number two running back in the season?
Who gets the second most amount of carries this season?
Yeah.
I will say that it is Omar Mabson right now.
Wow. If that happens, and we're not talking injuries, like if he earns the second most carries. Yeah. If he earns the second most carries, I think that's exceptional news for this team.
I was talking to someone, and this is a response to Daniel Moultrie saying Bryson Washington.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happening. Like, I'm not saying it can't and that it won't.
Yeah.
But I was talking to, you know, my source that was at the scrimmage last night, and he's like, he was sending me some notes of stuff was happening, and then at the end, he kind of dumped all of his thoughts. And this guy knows ball, like he knows what to look for. And he's like, man, now that I'm like typing all this out, like I didn't notice Bryson Washington at all. And I noticed I was watching for running backs. And he's like, I didn't really notice him. And we've seen in indie drills, small sample size, not really what you want to base things off of, but when there's consistencies, they do typically line up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's towards the back of the order every day we're out there. So I'm not saying he can't be that guy. We've seen him be really, really good. He was decent against us last year. But so far, what we've seen does not line up with him being the number two back. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm being very clear with this.
Yeah.
But what we've seen so far does not say that.
So clearly they know what Davenport can do in this offense. Clearly, like, is there some of, like, I don't know, is there some of, we know what Davenport can do, and Washington is a veteran, so we, like, we're pretty good with his skill set and ability to adapt and all, and so we want Mabson, who really should be a freshman this year, to get those carries, to get the experience, to like front load it in spring? Maybe.
Maybe. I think you then have to ask the question, why aren't they doing that for any other position, if that's the case?
Sure.
But maybe.
That's true, because the discussion last night was that it's the three Auburn guys who spent time at South Florida first, who are getting first team reps with the wide receivers.
Right. Koger, Singleton, Nimrod. Koger caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
So did, I'm blanking, tight end from Howard,
Newsom.
Those are the two guys that caught touchdowns from Byram last night, it sounds like.
Big Bang Brad asks the question, are we concerned on the limited amount of positive things we've heard about the offense?
No. No, I mean, I think this naturally, defense should be ahead of the offense.
Yep.
I wanted a few pop plays, and it sounds like that happened. That's what I asked for the offense. But it doesn't sound like Byram did anything spectacular, but also, the structure of a scrimmage.
Completely limited.
And we talked about this last year with Jackson Arnold, which, the logic is still the same, but didn't happen, but the logic is still the same of if using your legs and mobility is a strength, that's taken away from you in the scrimmage because everything's blown dead. So, but are we concerned? No. One, just the natural order of things. Defense is ahead of offense, because if one guy messes up on offense, the play's dead. If one guy messes up on defense, depending on what the play is, like, it's probably okay.
Yeah.
Especially up front. We'll see. And then obviously, the core of your defense is back. And yes, I know the core of the offense is not learning the new system. They're just in a different place, but typically the defense is ahead.
No. And I think that explanation is one of the best that I've ever heard. If one guy messes up on offense, plays dead, one guy messes up on defense, you got some space to cover. I like that. I like what I've like. Xavier Adkins apparently had a really good night last night. That was some of the best news that I heard from the scrimmage, because, all right, is it a breakout year and then you're happy with it? Or can you take another step further? Or do you stay where you are? And it sounds like he's just right back to balling out there.
Yeah, which is, everything's been about Elijah Melendez and, Bryce Diaz. So I think that's encouraging. Good point by you on that. Yeah, my high school coach, he talked about how, offense was like a scalpel, like you're doing a surgery and you need a bunch of precise cuts, because if the wrong cut happens, I mean, it could be fatal. And the defense is like a shotgun, just get there and be chaotic while you get there. Yes, you have a plan. Yes, you're aiming the shotgun.
Yeah.
But
that's well
you
put.
Want the blast to hit not just the target, but everything around it too, just in case.
Yeah. I like that.
I like you.
You played for a knowledgeable coach.
I did.
What time is
the
presser
in this state,
today?
For sure.
Big Bang Brad, what time is the Coach Golish presser today? You're going to it, right?
To 4:00.
Okay. Doggone it. I can't be there. I got to be over at baseball.
I'll be there.
Nice. Daniel wants to know. Yeah. By the way, in case you haven't figured this out, the Friday show, if it's your first one or you just like ask questions, you guys help drive the show on Fridays with your questions in the chat. So
But if you ask a bad one, we may make fun of it.
Oh yeah, everybody's fair game. Everything and everybody's fair game.
Make sure so, the whole there are no stupid questions. That is not a thing here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there are. There are plenty of stupid questions. Plenty of stupid comments too. By the way, the last couple of days we've gotten a lot on our videos. So
more Bama fans watching our shows than Auburn fans lately.
It's been a pretty even distribution. Yep. It was like the Arkansas pitchers' strikes and balls yesterday, about 50-50. So Daniel wants to know, what will the call for Byram be this year? Jackson had milkshakes. Will Byram have pound cake? No.
Here, let's just do this. Let's just get a raw reaction. Byram Brown, they're at the 12. He throws an in-breaking route to Koger, and Koger runs
really,
it.
Go. Are we really going to do this again?
Go.
We're going to do it. Okay.
Just right, raw Brown. Reaction. Go.
Brown back to pass. He looks. He fires quick. He's got Koger wide open. 10-5. Touchdown. Brownies for Byram.
Brownies is fine. That's good.
I thought we determined that back when he signed.
Yeah, the pound cake thing really shook my reality. But yeah. Yeah, that's probably right.
Pound cake is a separate idea. Pound Town is a totally different.
Yeah, that's just entity. A business venture that, yeah, right.
Correct. Any news on who's going to be the backup quarterback from Glenn on Facebook? Thanks for watching, Glenn.
Yeah, thanks for watching on Facebook. It seems like it's Tia. Tia got more of the reps during the viewing window, and then last night, sounds like Tia was QB2.
Go back and watch if you haven't, or rewatch if you've seen it, Alex Golish's interview with Zach. And they talk about backup quarterback. I thought it was interesting. He said he'd never really thought about backup quarterback as a competition in and of itself. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. What's up with that? Like, how? How have you never thought of that?
Yeah. Don't you need to determine a number two, a clear-cut number two guy?
Unless does it really not matter and it's all circumstantial, which it could be. And we talked about that with Ashton and Deuce last year, like going into the season. You know, they were kind of had different roles. So
Are we tailgating on A-Day? I think people should.
Do people do that?
Oh, I think they should. Says the guy who's not going to be here. I unfortunately won't be here. I'll be in Gainesville with baseball.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. So I have to miss it, but it's going to be huge. They officially free admission. They're doing autographs after now. Like, this is going to be a pretty standard A-Day game, just like we all remember. That's another example of we are so back. Regular A-Day is back.
Having to pay for A-Day over the last however long. I mean, I feel like I like complain about that every year for a long time. So that's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's going to be very, very good. So, Kathy means no, the Village Vice Barnfold. Yeah. What if you do a live?
That's a Kyle question. Kyle will do it.
Okay. Fair enough. We'll run that by. I think there should be a plan. And I know for me to say that, knowing I won't be here is kind of maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah. No, that sounds like something right up Kyle and Daps.
Yeah.
Aisle, their wheelhouse. I'll let them handle that. And I'll just show up. That's what that is. So
very good.
Will not. You'll be in a different state,
different place. Glenn also wants to know: is Alex McPherson healthy now? Yeah,
Glenn. I love all the questions. They're really thoughtful and insightful. Yep. Alex McPherson. I mean, they made him available to us after the first day, which I think is telling.
I do too.
I think that's telling. They gave us Byram, X, Camp, Cole Best, and McPherson.
Yeah.
Like, those are your leaders.
Those are your frontline guys.
Yeah, right.
Like, we were talking earlier, a few days or weeks ago, does Alex McPherson go to Media Days? You have a lot of guys you could choose from. He's a phenomenal story and a terrific talker.
Yeah. Yeah. My guess is no, but it wouldn't shock me, but I would guess no.
All right. Other questions that are coming through. Brad, are you going to go to Indy on Sunday to watch us win a title and then your Wolverines? They're not my Wolverines. They're just my second favorite.
You've claimed them, my guy.
Second favorite. No, I'm not going to Indianapolis on Sunday. I'm going to be back here taking in everything from Auburn like so many others. But I did pick Michigan in my bracket, and my bracket is in the 97th percentile nationally.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Yeah. No shot at the million or billion or whatever they're giving away for it because it's not the perfect bracket, but I'm up there.
What do you think people care less about when people share this? Their NCAA tournament bracket or their fantasy football team? Because people love to talk about both, and I don't think they care.
Oh, actually, I'll go I think fantasy football, because I think more people do brackets than do fantasy football. More people do brackets than do fantasy football. You don't think that's true?
No, like, I don't think that's true.
I know a dozen people who never have ever touched fantasy football, but they do brackets. I think you get a higher female population that does brackets than does fantasy football.
Good argument. Good argument.
Yeah. So, more questions. Heard Jared Smith was in the starting rotation. Hope he has a breakout season.
Yeah, it sounds like the starting defensive line last night, or just the starting defensive front, was Jared Smith and Deshaun Womack at the edges, mm-hmm. and then Cody Sigler and Dallas Walker in the interior, which was assumed. I think the big question is, what happens when Chris Murray is ready to go? I think that's the big question.
In place of Smith or on the others, like playing opposite Smith?
Well, I think he'll be at edge.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some conflicting speculation on who was where. If Womack was at end and Smith was at edge.
Yeah.
I would guess. I don't know. I think they're both pretty interchangeable. I think Smith is interchangeable because he's so big.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that one.
All right. Zach, card of the day, college basketball player not currently playing and not a former Tiger.
And not a former Tiger?
Correct.
So a college basketball card that's not an Auburn player?
Yeah. Card of the day, college basketball player not currently playing and not a former Tiger. This is really restrictive. These are great questions.
College basketball cards that aren't Auburn players.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Animal fact from Diver 15.
Please.
Octopus blood is blue. That means Octopod, Brad, and Zach are podcast blue bloods. Have you guys noticed? I'm about to shake some people here. This is like Inception style stuff.
Okay.
It's been there for months. How many of you have noticed the blue octopus over my shoulder? Have you guys noticed it?
When'd you add that? That's such a good addition.
It's been there for months.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't noticed that.
A week or two. You haven't noticed it?
Uh-uh. Nope. Yep.
Over the shoulder, blue octopus. There it is.
That's great.
Yep.
Just Big Sarge noticed it.
Hmm? Big Sarge?
Big Sarge said that they noticed it.
Well, of course Big Sarge did. And of course Jen Wynn noticed. So there you go.
All right.
Why wasn't Ty Buster not starting at left tackle in the scrimmage?
Yeah, so Wilson Zierer was at left tackle. My speculation would be that they like Wilson Zierer there more.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be a smarty pants or like, you know, I think he's beating him out.
Yeah.
Or there's at least speculation to it. They're moving the offensive line around so much. I think you're going to see guys all over the place.
Yeah. I think it could be that. It could be that it's the first scrimmage and they're moving guys around. But he was really high on Wilson Zierer when he talked to you. Your one-on-one interview, he had some really kind things to say about Wilson. And, you know, Buster I thought was interesting because they made Buster available to the media the other day. Mm-hmm. And this is not this is the gist of what he
said. I've tried to find what you're about to talk about. I can't find it anywhere.
You can't. It's the very first thing that he said.
I don't want it. Who posted the... Because the clip of Ty from Auburn does not have that in it.
Right. It may be Auburn undercover or one of the other, one of the other.
Anyway, go ahead. Cause I haven't been able to find it.
His first comment is like, you know, I kind of thought that with everybody leaving, I was just going to walk into a job, and it hasn't been that way. So, I mean, that gives you a little bit of insight to what he was thinking. And now he's maybe having to work differently, maybe not harder. I think he's always been a hard worker, but you've got to change your mindset when there's more competition than you expected at a position.
Zach, say his name correctly, please. Zaire. So I've been saying that even when I covered his brother several years ago,
right?
Got a call from Auburn this week saying his name is Zierer.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to tell you on that one.
And I'm playfully going to jab at you with this, because I've been telling you it was Zierer since Killian was here. Because we have...
Have you?
Yes.
Okay.
And when he signed, and when Auburn was recruiting him, and there have been a few instances where I'm like, God, we get the players saying their names every summer. We put it on the roster page of the website. We use it in a starting lineup featuring, just so we get everybody just in case. And it's always been Zierer. So somebody at Auburn called you on that pronunciation?
That wasn't like the only thing we talked about, but that was discussed. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
And like, I want to say their names right.
Yeah. Well, sure. Right. So. Right. Okay. Why is Brad putting decorations in Zach's office?
That's funny. That's a funny joke.
That is an A+ comment right there.
That's funny.
Way to go, Miller AD. Baseball bats finally hot last night. Hope to see it again tonight. Yeah. Not only were the bats hot last night, but the pitching was so good. You're now going into, you need one game to win a series, and you have your entire weekend rotation available. And your entire bullpen minus Cormier. How good is LJ Cormier?
So swag-tastic. Alvarez got the moxie you want, man.
Oh, man. And Alvarez and Cormier back-to-back to start a series? Yes, please. Brad low-key fire law. This is one of my split personalities. Who starts tonight? Jake Marciano starts tonight.
Rather be in our position than Arkansas's, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Right now.
No question.
Up 1-0 and the ace takes the mound? Yes, please. Thank you.
Of the six hits Auburn got in the 7-run fifth inning last night, the six hits, four of them came with two strikes. Like, you know these guys can hit. You know they can hit situationally. They just hadn't for a couple of weeks. And they did last night. That was really good to see. So then a really good spot. They're doing the Plainsman Plaza again Saturday for people who have tickets to the game. So with the live music and the inflatables and the food trucks and stuff. I think they had a golf simulator last time.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was Saturday. Okay. Does Alvarez become a weekend starter after his outing last night?
I think they've been trying to figure out how to get him there.
Yeah. It's a great question, because Butch said this last night. None of the starters on the weekend have done anything to deserve being pushed out of their roles. This was just a perfect setup where you could move Dre to Thursday and not have to move everybody up a day or alter the calendar. What I'm more interested in, so Alvarez flat out dominated last night against six left-handed hitters. They put a couple of guys in the lineup last night to get lefty-righty matchups, and Alvarez and Cormier dominated them. If Marciano dominates tonight or has anywhere near the same kind of success, who do you throw Saturday?
I would throw Petrovic.
Okay. And just not use Sanders? Or do you use Sanders tonight? Do you go Marciano, Sanders if they're struggling with the lefty?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna act like I know the ins and outs of, like, you know, the specific matchups or whatever, but just it doesn't seem like Sanders has had it the last few times out.
Yeah. Okay.
Just my thoughts.
Going back to football, smashed Browning. I haven't followed. Is there a chance for Brown in the NFL? I'd love another Auburn QB to follow in the NFL.
I don't think he translates to the NFL. Okay. That is my gut. The whole throwing motion thing, like, I don't really care what it looks like in college, but the NFL will care.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope he's so good and they're just like, yeah, whatever. You've got every other trait. Yeah. We'll figure it out. But that is my gut reaction.
He doesn't have to have a 3K, 1K kind of year, but if he can, if he produces at a high level, some team will take a chance. He may not be a first round guy, but somebody's going to like the productivity. Somebody's going to say, yes, he's a winner and he produces, and let's see what he could do here.
Yeah, they've gotten a little more lax. Not everything has to be as perfect anymore. There's been a few guys who've kind of broken that mold to some extent. So,
I like this question from Luke. Luke Wigginton. Who would win, Takeo versus Cam, in their prime 1v1 on the goal line?
Peace.
Cam.
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton would win every one-on-one matchup in his prime. You're not stuffing Cam on the goal line in his prime.
Nothing against Takeo.
Right. Love it. 9-time most likely major league player on Auburn's roster that isn't draft eligible this year.
That's not draft eligible this year. So not Chris Rembert.
Right. Right. Because he is draft eligible. I'm tempted to go. I'm tempted to say Alvarez.
I'm thinking just hitters.
Bingaman.
Bingaman's good.
Maybe Bub. If Bub dials in the breaking ball, he's got to dial in the swing against the.
Is
the
Bub draft ball. Eligible?
No, I don't think so. It's his second year, and I don't think he's drafted. I don't know. Now I'm questioning myself.
Ooh, Daryl's got a good point about the pitching. You see that?
Let's put it on the screen. Thank you, Daryl. If you throw Petrovic game 3, then Steele catches him, thereby taking Chase out behind the dish. Not thrilled with that, the way Frelick is framing it right now. That's a fair point.
It's a good point. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a guy who knows ball right there.
He does.
That's a guy who knows ball.
About it. Hey, yep. He's come to game. And you know what? Not only does he know it, he watches it in person. He's been at many games this year.
Extremely passionate human being.
No question.
Loving, caring.
Mm-hmm. Empathetic, generous. All the positive things.
That's Daryl Dapridge.
Who's more empathetic than Daryl Dapridge? I've never
Let me make a list real quick.
That's it. Zero. There is no list.
I made the list. That's you it. Made the list.
Hey, Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika makes the list for best auto body shop around. Whether your daily commute, kids' car, road trip vehicle, Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika takes a safety-first approach to everything they do. Every visit includes that full digital inspection so that you know exactly what condition your vehicle's in. They don't rush. They don't cut corners. They're honest. They give you recommendations you can trust. They are locally owned. If you're in Opelika or near Opelika, you and car safety matters. Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika is the place for you. Mention this podcast, please. Mention this show. And when you go in and visit our friends at Precision Tune Auto Care, real hospitality, real car care, no artificial sweeteners in this place.
No artificial sweeteners? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, that's what I said. Because they're real.
If you could do that over again, would you say it again?
Yeah,
I would probably. Does that land?
Yeah, because it's all real. Nothing artificial.
No, real okay. Market. I see. Got it. Got
speaking
it.
Speaking of artificial sweeteners, I saw a guy walking his dog today on the way to the office. It's the fattest dog I've ever seen in my life. Zach, Seriously, it's one fat dog, okay? This was a dog so fat, it should have been a villain in a Disney movie. Seriously, it was so fat. It was so fat, you don't say good boy, you say we need a plan, right? That's how you address this dog. This dog's leash size, this the collar for this dog is just a belt. The dog was so fat. And I like, good for him. Good for this guy walking this dog, but this dog was struggling. He had thick fur and it was warm and he's the fattest dog ever. So why are we letting our dogs get that fat? Can we not? Maybe it's a thyroid thing with dogs. I don't know. But anyway, I thought artificial sweetener. I thought about the fat dog. I'm sorry. I just needed to bring that out there to the people.
Got it. What kind of dog was it?
I had fat dog. I don't know what breed. I know it was a fat dog.
I used to have a roommate. He had a wiener dog named Oscar. And that was a fat dog. His belly just kind of like dragged on the floor. It was so cute. But that was a chunky dog.
I don't know whether to think they're really cute or just want to avoid them altogether. Like, dogs so fat that when you take them on a walk, they call an Uber instead. You know, just so fat.
Right.
Okay. We did this on the baseball show yesterday. This is from Barner Becca. Breakfast. You have to choose bacon or sausage forever. One goes away forever from breakfast. Which are you choosing?
This is a no-brainer for me.
Really?
Not even hesitating.
Hit me with it.
Sausage.
You keep sausage, you do away with bacon.
You can do more with sausage.
I think I agree with you.
You can ground it up.
Yeah.
I also like sausage better in things. Like, I like sausage better in an omelet.
Mm-hmm.
I like sausage better in, you know, if you're doing like a breakfast wrap type deal.
Yep.
You can do the link route if you want that. You can do the patty route if you want that. I think there's more on the table there.
I say the same thing. Now, the chat apparently is going the other direction. It is a bacon-heavy response right now.
Bacon is culturally loved, which is fine. Which is fine. I don't have an issue with bacon. But it's cool to like bacon. I equate it to, like, people wanting to bash mornings. Like, I'm just not a morning person. It's like, well, that happens every day. Like, I don't think you're cool because you hate mornings. Just like, I don't think you're that cool just because you like bacon.
Yeah.
But culture has won that. Bacon is winning the culture battle for sure.
Are these the same people who are like, they say, I can't adult today? They use adult like a verb. Would somebody who says they're not a morning person would go, I'm having trouble adulting today? And you
there's,
go,
stop there's probably that. A strong correlation for that. Yeah.
I hear that and I cringe a little bit. I go, stop that. Stop it. You are an adult. Let's pull our stuff together and act like it today.
What do you mean you can't? Like, that's an option? You have an option to not do that?
Right.
That's where I get interested. Like,
yeah.
How do you just not have responsibility? And it's like, you have children. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. If you have an off day from work, that's an off day from work. But, like, you were a child for a while, then you were a teenager, then you're an adult. We're all here. Like, we're all doing this thing together.
And the question was breakfast, correct?
Correct, which means, and I think that's the important loophole for all the bacon lovers, you can still have bacon at other meals.
Yeah, put bacon on a burger, which is great. Alyssa's saying bacon fixes salads. Sure, that's fine. But, like, let's put in perspective what the question is.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
I agree, and that's why I would pick sausage 10 out of 10 times to stay. I could do away with bacon at breakfast because I could have it at other times. Whatever you love, bacon makes it better.
That's probably true.
Well, most.
The list is long, for sure.
Yeah, and I don't want to be that guy who always comes up with the exception, you know? Somebody says something pretty universally true, like, oh, but how about ice cream?
Right. Like, clearly that's not what you're saying, right?
Right.
Yeah, you're not saying, like, oh, I love watching Survivor, but putting bacon on the show is going to make it better. Like, that's not what you're saying. That's not what you're saying.
Yeah.
Where are you with Easter candy?
Oh, yes. We were. I meant to bring this up earlier this week. Cadbury eggs.
Elite.
Elite, absolutely. Even the caramel ones, but the original is where it's at. You know me and like getting funky with treats and snacks. Let's don't do it. It's not necessary. The original Cadbury Easter egg with the commercial with all the animals with the bunny ears and the lion that thinks he's a bunny. And that's classic. That's nostalgic. It's delicious. I only need about one a year and I'm good.
One Cadbury egg?
One Cadbury egg, because more than that and you just get sick.
You talk about the little tiny ones?
No, I'm talking about the big one with the cream.
Oh, I've only had the little tiny ones.
You've never had one with the cream?
No.
Oh, that's an idea for Monday's show. We did this with Star Crunch. I think we should do it with Cadbury eggs.
Okay, let me see if I can find one. The element of, let me ask you this first before I go down this route, because I don't want to be offensive to you. I'm fine being offensive to other people, but not to you. The thoughts on Peeps.
Oh, I'm anti-Peeps.
So I think the people that are incredibly pro-Peeps, like, I kind of question them as people to some extent.
Yeah. I certainly question their decision making and their taste.
It's like you have so many other options. You have so many other options. Yeah. I got to tell you, so this happened. This is a true story. It happened like 3 or 4 days ago. My mother-in-law's in town. They have an apartment in town now. We're at their apartment eating dinner. Yeah. We're done eating. You know, they made this great meal. We're done eating. And of course, you know, my kids want dessert from their grandma, whatever. Yeah. Great. And she brings out Peeps. Smash Brown. That's probably true.
Yeah.
The can't make it worse. And she I learned that she loves Peeps. My mother-in-law does. And I'm like, gross. Okay, cool, whatever. And like, and she has a big bag of like the mini Cadbury eggs too. And I'm like, just eat those. That's funny. So then she hands them to my two oldest children. They're like, here you go. And I'm so nervous that they're going to like them. I'm so nervous. And they both take a bite at the same time. And the face, they make this face of, I wish I had it on video because it's so funny. They're like disgusted at the same time. And they both look up at her like, you betrayed me. This looks delicious and cutesy and colorful.
Sure. And
marshmallowy. Like, you sold this.
Highlighter as color. If it would candy be
good.
Show. Yeah.
And you lied to me.
Yeah. It's the first great betrayal. It's your first betrayal as a child that you experience.
Because I'm going to be, everything about it screams, I think this is going to be good.
Sure.
Until the execution.
The fluorescent colored coating. Absolutely. Gets your attention, draws you in.
Peeps are the 2025 Auburn Tigers. They look good. Everything on paper is like, this should be good. Easy schedule.
Yeah.
Year three in a rebuild. Expensive roster. 5 stars all over the place. And then when it's time to execute, when it's time to actually taste it.
Yeah.
When it's time to put them on the field. Gross. Gross. Oh,
that is phenomenal. I think who's pro Peeps? I think people feel bullied now. They would not admit to being pro Peeps.
Yeah, somebody Peeps with an anonymous name will say that they like Peeps, but
yeah, that's great. DeBoer inhales Peeps.
Oh, we should lead the show. Like, devastating fact about Alabama football coach.
Okay, I'm glad that Barner Becca brought this up because I was going to ask. If you had a bowl of candy corn and a package of Peeps and you had to get through one of them.
I don't mind candy corn.
By itself? By itself.
It's not my favorite, but it's not. The first two or three are good. And then it's like, this is a lot.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said you got a bowl of it right there that you got to finish.
I would do the candy corn. I could get through it. I could get through that. And I don't know if I'd really... I'd need some water for sure. It definitely seems to dry my mouth out, but
yeah,
candy corn, not even close.
I might need a carbonated beverage for that because candy corn with peanuts is incredible.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Candy corn and peanuts is a fall treat. Month of September and October. I'm so dumb with these rules. September and October, I pretty much keep a supply of peanuts and candy corn nearby, but only those months because it's a fall treat.
Okay.
Okay. Gosh, I hadn't shared that maybe. How about orange slices? That's not Easter candy. Can we? I'm sorry. I'm screwing us up. Easter candy, and we've been going a while. Reese's eggs.
It's the best shape of Reese's.
Correct.
It's better than pumpkin. Pumpkin second.
Wish they'd just keep like the regular Reese's cups should just become that ratio of chocolate and peanut butter.
Yes. The top three Reese's shapes in this order.
Yes.
Eggs.
Yes.
Pumpkin.
Yes.
Christmas tree.
Agreed. Completely okay, agree. Yeah.
Great.
The thins are not bad. The dark chocolate thins are pretty good too, but in terms of the
haven't had those, but I'm sure they're great.
I love the little Cadbury mini eggs that you're talking about. Those are dangerous. I could get one of those purple bags that come out this time of year. I could go through three of them in one baseball game if I had
the ratio of crunch on the outside of the shell.
It's perfect
versus the rich chocolate inside. It's the ratio is perfect.
Perfect.
There's different ways you can like eat it in your mouth, right? Like you can just kind of like leave it in there, let it slowly dissolve. Mm-hmm. You can also do the slight bite, get the coating off of it.
Yes.
Get that out of the way.
Yeah.
And then just have the chocolate there. There's different ways you can experience it in your mouth. And I think that's important.
You could make them last a long time or you just chew through them quickly.
Mouth experience is a big part of it.
It is. It's very
Everybody
important.
Comment your favorite mouth experience in the chat, please.
Thoughts on jelly beans?
Fine.
Red jelly beans. So like cherry.
Green My favorite apple, jelly beans gray. Are the Starburst. Is it Starburst? Yes. Sweethearts. Yes.
Starburst.
No, I think it's a Sweetheart jelly beans. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think those are my favorite jelly bean.
Okay. Maybe the fat dog had been eating those new Milk-Bone Peeps dog treats. That's a real product. No, it's not.
They didn't put
Peeps in dog treats. I got to tell you, that's where they belong. Regular Peeps should just be what we feed our dogs instead of us eating them. Is the point? What other Easter candy is there? What do you think about the big Easter, like the big bunnies that were hollow that were just pure milk chocolate?
Delicious.
Sure.
What else do you want me to say about them?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what else is out there. I don't like the weird flavors of jelly beans. I want straightforward cherry, green apple, grape, lemon. I want a bright flavored jelly bean. Popcorn jelly beans, terrible. You know, I don't need any pastel colored jelly bean because I don't know what flavor that is.
What's the appropriate amount of effort to put into an Easter basket?
I mean, the Easter bunny just handles that. I don't. Why?
I'm doing something wrong then.
It depends on.
You call ahead. How do you do that?
You go with the pre-made ones. Is what you do.
Really?
Yeah.
You get a pre-made Easter basket?
Yes, 100%.
Feels lame.
No, it doesn't. Your kids aren't going to remember. They're not going to remember how it was laid out and organized and all that. They just want what's on the inside. They just want the gold. Give me the gold.
I just want one Easter basket experience. Like looking back at my childhood, I really only remember one of them.
Yeah. Okay. Was it a homemade one or was it a pre-made?
It was a homemade one. But I don't really remember everything in it. There was just a video game in it that I've wanted for a long time that was in there. So I guess that's why I remember it.
Yeah. Okay. So that's not a traditional Easter basket gift.
True.
Yeah. Okay. Peeps, jelly beans. Get out of here. You guys. Some of the stuff, I don't know whether to believe you. Can I tell you a pretty cool thing that I only recently started doing or hearing about at Easter time? Do you guys do resurrection rolls on Easter morning? You may call them something else, but are you familiar with the concept?
Resurrection rolls?
Yeah.
No.
All right. So you take giant marshmallows, and you take crescent rolls and you take some butter and some cinnamon sugar, the melted butter. And so you take the marshmallow and you dress it in the butter. That's like the oils and all that they, Jesus' body after he died. It's serious. It's called resurrection rolls. So, and then the spices, that's your cinnamon and sugar. And then you wrap it in the crescent roll. Okay. And then you bake it. And then when it bakes, the marshmallow dissolves completely. Okay. But the roll holds its shape. Got so it. you can cut it in half and open it up and it's like the empty tomb. Oh. And it's a cinnamon sugar flavor. It's a, like a cinnamon roll, crescent roll. But you tell a story and you teach a lesson while you do it.
I love that. That's great.
Pretty neat.
I've never heard of that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I had never heard of it either until recently. So, yeah.
Is that it?
That's it. That's all I got. We're going to end on resurrection rolls.
Perfect. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming.
Yes, it is.
All right. I think that does it for today's show.
You guys are absolutely the best. Thank you very much for being here and being part of the show today. Thanks for listening and watching, and subscribe if you haven't. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.